Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Father, for just the opportunity to gather to worship you, Lord, and to lift you up, because your name really is the church, the body of Christ, and we're excited and looking forward to what you have for us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to just open our hearts and minds to you, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, into how we can apply these truths into our lives, being changed and made more into the image of Christ. Father, again, thank you for these that have gathered, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful day today. And we pray again that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. So a couple announcements just to get started. And want to make sure you guys know kind of some things going on. So right off the bat, I want to let you know about some ladies' events coming up. So we got Painting and Fellowship Together. That's going to be going on April 20th. And then we have our spring ladies event going on May 11th. And so all the information is in the bulletin there. Just be reminded about that. You don't want to miss out on that. The painting and fellowship is going to be a cost of $25. And then the ladies spring event is $10. And so all that information is in the bulletin. And if you did not get one this morning, please grab one on your way out by the doors there. Also want to let you know next week, the student ministry has their snack night right after church. And then also just a reminder about our upcoming Compassion Sunday, April 28th, we're going to be having that time of just prayerfully considering how the Lord might use us as a church to sponsor these children through Compassion, that we can be a blessing to them and be an encouragement to them and obviously their situations, not just lifting them out of poverty financially, getting them the help they need, but also educationally, getting medical needs met and spiritually meeting those needs, obviously with the gospel of Christ. And so April 28th, the last Sunday of the month, is going to be Compassion Sunday, so do not miss out on that. Really excited about the Lord's going to do there. And then also just continue to pray for our widows and widowers banquet. That's going to be going on April 27th. And so we are pretty well set on volunteers and helpers and leaders and all that. I really want to encourage you to be praying for that event. It's a way to open up our church to the community, to be a blessing to the widows and widowers in our community, and completely free of charge. We want to serve them and encourage them as best we can. And dinner will be served at 5, and then music and everything will be in here following. So be praying for that, praying as the gospel goes forth, that somebody would come to know Christ. And that's really what we're praying for, is just the Lord to move in a mighty way. So a lot of things going on. Hopefully you guys are keeping up to date on everything. You can obviously stay up to date on the app and on Facebook, all that stuff. We try to keep all that stuff pretty up to date with the calendar. So if you have any questions, let me know. I'd love to answer them for you. So this evening, I'd like to go ahead and have you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians tonight. And again, we will have right after service just a time of fellowship there. And so we might go a little bit shorter tonight just to give some time for fellowship next door there. And then we might pick up next week where we left off this evening. So 2 Corinthians, and we've been talking last week, we started talking about the idea of grace and just the reality of God's grace in our lives and what grace has brought into our lives. Grace. And we talked about what bad grace versus good grace looks like, and that good grace is biblical grace, the idea of God's saving and sustaining grace. Bad grace is this idea of trying to abuse God's grace or misuse God's grace or think that by my own doing I can earn God's grace and favor. And so we kind of unpack that a little bit, and I want to really continue walking out this idea of grace, the grace of God as we understand it from the Word of God. So I believe we have honestly so much to be thankful for. We talked this morning about the joy that we have in the Lord. But when you think about the grace of God that's been extended to us, there is so much to praise Him for. There is so much to be thankful for that God in His unending love and unending mercy extended grace that all who would repent, turn from their sins and trust Christ will be saved. And we can say that while also acknowledging that God is holy and just and righteous and pure and all those things. God's grace doesn't do away with those other attributes of God. He is still all that He's always been. But I'm so thankful that when we cry out to Christ and we say, Lord, I have sinned, would you forgive me my sin? He will extend His grace to us. And so what I want to do tonight is unpack this idea a little bit more and see how thankful we can be for God's grace. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to start, and we're going to be in verse 17. So this is a familiar passage for many. but it's one that I believe will really kind of put in perspective what we want to talk about this evening. So as we normally do, I would love to get maybe a volunteer that would like to read the text this evening. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 17 through 21. So if somebody would like to read that for us, I'd love to open it up for that. If somebody would like to read that passage. Okay, Kelsey, thank you. So 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, please. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So what's the theme of this passage? What's a theme that we see running through these verses? So reconciliation, right? And what does it mean to be reconciled? When you think of reconciliation, what comes to your mind? I'm sorry? Okay, in fellowship together, right? When you're not reconciled, you're probably not in fellowship together. When you are, you kind of are in fellowship together. Yeah, Sandra? Okay, fixed, repaired. I think that's a great way to look at it. Yeah, the relationship's been fixed or repaired or mended. What else comes to mind when you think of reconciliation? Okay, made whole. Absolutely, right? And what was our relationship with God like before we were reconciled through Christ? How does the Bible describe our relationship to God before we were made whole in Him? Broken. Julie? Yes, enemies, right? We were enemies of God. We were not His friends, okay? We did not agree with what He found valuable, important, right? Right? We did not see Him as anything that we should consider. We did our own thing, right? Now, we knew the truth, Romans 1. You know the truth, right? Creation reveals the reality of God's godliness and His presence, His power. And inwardly, we have our conscience that God has gifted us with because we've all been made in the image of God. But what do we do with that knowledge? According to Romans 1, we suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We push it down because we don't want to hear that because we're enemies of God. Because if we align ourselves with God being who God says He is, we either need to submit and humble ourselves or recognize we're in rebellion and run the other way. But we can't be neutral. We can't say, oh, I just didn't know. No, we know. And so here in this text, Paul lays it out that we have been reconciled. We were enemies. We were broken. We were distant. But now we've been brought back into right standing with God. We've been brought back into the right relationship with Him. And how is that reconciliation? How has that taken place? And why has that taken place, rather? What has made that possible that we were broken, enemies of God, rebellious? But now we've been reconciled. What allowed that to take place? Yeah, it says right in the text, right? We've been reconciled by Christ, right? It's by Him. We've been reconciled in Christ. We are a new creature. That newness that we have is what allows us to have that restoration and that reconciliation, right? And now we know, how is it that Christ came and died for us on the cross and was crucified for our sins and buried and rose again. And ultimately, we talked about it this morning and even last week, that He ascended into heaven. That's all by grace. And we mentioned this, I think it was last week, that, and maybe it was even on Easter, that 2 Corinthians 5:21 is really a summary verse, maybe one of the best summary verses of the gospel in the New Testament, right? I mean, it's all there. For He hath made Him, the Him being Christ, to be sin for us, right? Because we have sinned, Jesus took our sin, our right and deserving punishment for our sin. It says, it who knew no sin, so Jesus was sinless. He was the perfect Lamb, sinless Son of God, the God-man, Christ Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we are broken, rebellious sinners, but then Christ offers to us this eternal life. We receive that grace and our sin is accredited to Him. And now we've been made the righteousness of God in him. No longer enemies, but reconciled. And what does Paul say that that reconciliation, the knowledge of that, should drive us to do? In response to that, we've been reconciled to God. We know the grace of God has changed us and made us new, right? He says we're ambassadors for Christ. So what is that knowledge of reconciliation? What does that actually push us and motivate us to do? According to the text, what are we now being motivated and encouraged to do? Yes. Yep, absolutely. We do his work. We represent him. Yeah. What does Paul say? He says, you've been reconciled and now you've been given what? The ministry of the word of reconciliation. So the ministry of, so you have all believers have been called into the ministry, if you will, to preach this message of reconciliation, which is only available in Christ. So when you're communicating with your loved one, your neighbor, your coworker, you're doing ministry. Because ministry just means something I'm doing for him. I'm serving someone else by serving the Lord. Or I'm serving the Lord by serving someone else, however you want to look at it, right? And so if you serve the church, if you do a ministry in the church, you're serving Christ. So I'll give you an example. If you help in any way, shape, or form, we have people that come up and volunteer every single week and clean the church. We don't pay them, right? So you're sitting on a clean chair, you use a clean restroom because somebody has come up and volunteered their time to do that. They are serving the church by cleaning the church, but they're also serving the Lord. It's an act of ministry. And so ministry is those things that we do, the service that we do for others, that is the calling the Lord has put on our lives. And in this case, he's saying it's evangelism. It's preaching the gospel. It's sharing this reality. Because here's the truth. What did it do to you? Like, what did it, how did it change you to hear the word of reconciliation? Think of it that way. Like when you first heard the gospel and you first came to the knowledge of Christ, and if you're here and you don't know Christ, you can receive him tonight. It's not by religion, good works, morality, baptism. It's by faith in Christ alone. Putting your faith and trust in Christ, repenting or turning from your sins and believing he died on the cross for you. That's as simple as salvation is. But when you heard that word for the first time, what did that do for you? Like what did that awaken in you when you heard the word of reconciliation and it's available to you? What comes through our, what happens when we hear that word of reconciliation? How do we respond to that? Now, sometimes we respond in defensiveness, right? I don't want to hear that. But if our heart's been softened and we start responding in a favorable way, what does that do to hear that word of reconciliation? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yes, we're grateful to the Lord, right? That he's extended this grace to us. We want to please him and live for him, absolutely. What else does that do to us when we hear that word of reconciliation is available to us? Okay. How, it's like, unpack that a little bit. What do you mean?
Mm. I'm going in the right direction.
Okay, absolutely. I love that. I've come back together and I'm going in the right direction. I love that. Absolutely. Yeah, Kelsey. Okay. Okay. Yeah, guarantee of eternal life. Sandra.
I was little, but I just remember when I heard that the gospel and I understood it, like it kind of gave me like a peace, like this is what I was looking for.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, this is what satisfies. This is what I needed, and I feel like I found what I've needed. Absolutely, that peace, 100%. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes. Yep. And that's exactly where I was wanting us to go. You took us there. It was awesome because that's, you said grateful and we think grateful to the Lord, like, Lord, you've done this for me, but we should be so grateful for the one that extended the word of reconciliation to you. right? The preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the little girl in a bedroom at a sleepover. Whatever it is, right? Counselor at camp, maybe, or whatever it was. That person that pulled you aside or sat with you and said, hey, I want you to know this. And here's the thing, and I love what you said, Britt, because it's so true. Once we come to Christ, what's that? I always say natural byproduct, but it's really a supernatural byproduct of that. If you look at scripture, what happens when people have an encounter with Jesus Christ, understand he's the Messiah, receive him? What do they do instantly without being told? They tell others. I mean, think about the apostles. The first two apostles, right? We got Andrew and John. Okay, they were followers of John the Baptist. Jesus comes and gets baptized. They're like, John, you're great. He's Jesus. We're going to go follow him now. That might be a paraphrase. That might not be exactly what they said, but it was close. But what did they do, though, right after realizing who Jesus was? Where did Andrew go? I got to tell Peter. What did John think? I got to tell my brother James. You know, Nathaniel and Philip, they were just instantly, we got to go tell him. We got to go tell him. We found the Messiah. The woman at the well, what was the first thing she did when she came to that realization in John 4 that Jesus was the Messiah, the one she's been waiting for? Isn't that what she says? We've been looking for a Messiah. We know he's coming. She left her water pots, went into the whole city. Now, maybe that's a little extreme. Maybe she didn't literally go door to door. But the idea from the author of the text is saying she went throughout the whole area making Jesus, inviting people to come and see a man that told her all things, whatsoever she had done. Because then the supernatural byproduct of coming to Christ is evangelism. But it's interesting how, as we progress in Christianity, meaning we've been saved longer and longer, if we're not careful, we forget this word's been given to us. And here's the thing that I don't think any of us really want to communicate, but I think we do this when we withhold the gospel. Everything you guys just said, and there's so much more, right? But all those feelings of newness and bringing of a refreshing, right? A gratitude to the Lord, a thankfulness for all these things, a peace that passes understanding, an eternal hope. When we refuse to share the gospel, we're basically saying, no, you don't deserve to hear that word. You don't get to feel what I felt when I came to Christ. You don't get to experience what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you know what? I just don't think you need that. So we've benefited from the gospel. We've experienced it. And it's not just about feelings, by the way, because some days, if we're being honest, some days I don't feel saved, right? There's some days you get a little bit annoyed or you're frustrated and you're like, Lord, I don't know. This isn't the day, right? Like, I just don't know if this is the day that I feel saved. And sometimes we fall into sin. We commit sin decisions and we go, Lord, I don't know, man. I'm struggling with this. I don't feel saved right now. I'm so thankful. Salvation is not based on our feelings, but it's based on the word of God. Ephesians 1, I have sealed you unto the day of redemption. Right? He holds us. That eternal hope is eternal hope because it's guaranteed in Christ. And so when we reject someone the opportunity of hearing the gospel, we're basically saying, you don't deserve, you're not worthy of me giving you this so that you can feel this way, that you can experience this. And I don't think we mean to communicate that at all. But that's why I think Paul says it so adamantly. You are an ambassador. You are here, citizens of the kingdom to come. Representing Christ. Because by the way, we're not citizens of this kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom to come. And we're representing Jesus Christ. And so here in this text, and I know there's so much more in there, but I wanted to really unpack that just for a moment. Now, I said we were going to end a little early, and it's 6:30. So you're probably just thinking like, have we even gotten to the point yet? We haven't even gotten to the first point of the sermon. So That was not even an introduction. I didn't even have that in the notes. So that, I don't know what to tell you about that one. But I do want to just share our first point, and then we'll pick up the rest next week. But the idea of this being made new, that's kind of the theme of the rest of this talk that we're going to go through tonight and even next week. The idea of being made new, that we're a new creation. Now, do we still have the old stuff, the flesh? Yeah. We still have that temptation. We still have that battle that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But it's newness. We've been made new. And so I want to kind of talk to that newness this evening. So Ephesians chapter 2, go over there quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. And I think one of the things that we are aware of when we come to Christ, this newness, is just that, a new awareness. A new awareness. So Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a powerful passage all the way through verse 10. So Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to look at verses 1 through 3. So somebody that would like to volunteer to read that for us would be great. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, who'd like to read that? Danielle, thank you, ma'am. What's it talk about in verse 4 and 5? That is what? Mercy and grace. And then you go all the way down to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't want to spend too much time here, but I love, again, Paul's writing. Paul starts with our situation before Jesus Christ and salvation, which is what? What's our spiritual standing before God, before Christ? Dead. How does he end that section? In Christ, now we can do what? Good works. We are his workmanship. That word in the Greek is the idea of a poem. That's where we get the word poem from. We're his living masterpiece. We're a workman. We're worked together for God's glory. We're representing him in all that we do. But do you notice he starts in that order? And it's so important we get this. He goes from before Christ you were dead, in Christ you've been made alive. Because of the grace and mercy of God, now you're usable for good works. What do we in religion, apart from biblical grace, what do we usually think? I need to do good works to be made alive, and then I'll receive grace. Because I'm working to get the grace. But God flips the whole thing around. And if we get it out of this order, we'll completely miss grace. We'll completely misunderstand God's power to use his grace to bring this new awareness. And so the first thing we have to note when we talk about this new awareness is awareness to the realization that we were dead and now brought to life. I truly believe that, again, the longer we're saved, we tend to underevaluate the magnitude of God's grace when we underestimate our desperate situation prior to our coming to Christ. We tend to think somehow God's grace isn't as powerful as it really is because we think we really weren't that bad when we got saved. We think, I wasn't really that bad. Now, Sandra has shared this before, and I know that, you know, she was younger when she got saved, like 7, right? 6, 7. So I don't think you were probably a very wretched sinner in your actions at 6 or 7. Probably. I don't think you're out there killing people or doing drugs or whatever. But so we think, I wasn't that bad of a sinner, like the guy on death row or the person that did this. And so therefore, it's almost like we think like that person needs like a vat of God's grace poured on them. I just need a thimble of God's grace. Because I wasn't perfect, but I wasn't really that bad, right? So just a little grace, I'm good. When we start to think that way, and I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I actually imagine God with like a vat and like pouring grace on someone. But when we think that way, what we do is we kind of underestimate God's grace. And so we stop being as thankful for it as we should, and our worship is affected. Our obedience is affected. Because we can easily think, well, I didn't really need that much grace. I'm kind of pretty good on my own, so I'm okay. Paul says, no, you were dead. Not a little dead, sort of dead, half dead. You're dead. And by the way, there's only you had no hope of life in you. Made alive. I love that. Paul not only talks to this idea that we were dead and now made alive, but this new awareness is a realization that before Christ, we walked according to the flesh and desires of Satan. So we were dead spiritually. And then he says the other picture he uses here is that we were walking, but we were only walking in accordance with the desires of the flesh and the desires of the devil. He says, listen, you were not only dead spiritually, but you were also actively doing things that were against God. You were actively walking out things that displeased God. But there's a powerful phrase in this passage that, again, I think we sometimes miss. He actually says the phrase there in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation. Danielle's translation, and it's a good translation, says conduct, right? Our lifestyle. But then there's that phrase, in times past. And we sometimes miss that. Yes, before Christ, I was dead. Before Christ, I walked according to the lust of the flesh and the desires of Satan. But those were times past. Now we've been made alive. So what are we seen as? We're not seen walking in the lust of the flesh. We're seen walking in the Spirit. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I don't always do that. I don't always walk in the Spirit. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I struggle. But from God's point of view, that's not your position any longer. You're no longer one who actively walks this way. No, you've been made new. You've been made different. And so again, here we see this reality of the new awareness. You see, this is not our current position in Christ and does not have to be our practical life with Christ. Spiritually, according to God, we are not currently walking according to the lust of the flesh. We have been made new. But sometimes we forget that and we start acting as though we're walking according to the lust of the flesh. And I want to go to one more passage and then we're going to pray and close. Romans chapter 6. Now, I know many of us have read this and know this, but I think it ties perfectly in with what we're talking about from Ephesians. So Romans chapter 6 in verse 1 through 7. So one more volunteer that would like to read. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes to the Ephesians, same author. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's unpacking that in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Romans 6, he's writing to the church at Rome, so same author. So he's unpacking this in a little bit different way. So one more volunteer that would like to read this evening. Romans 6, 1 through 7. Who's got it? Going once. Oh, Greg, sorry. I was like so in the center. I wasn't looking over to the... Sorry. Whenever you're ready, sir. Thank you, sir. So notice Paul's phrasing here. It's not, you will be dead to sin. He says what? You are. Like from this point forward, don't walk in sin. Why? Because that's not your standing. That's not your position in Christ. You've been freed from sin because sin is dead to you. And I love that he uses in verses 1 through 7 there, he uses the idea of our new life in Christ through what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And baptism being a picture, right? We go into the water representing death. We come out of the water representing that newness of life, that resurrected life in Christ. What does Ephesians 2 say? You were dead, but now you've been made alive. Because of that, stop using my nature. Excuse, you can't help but give in. I just have to give in. I have to sin. It's just in my nature. That's a lie. Yes, of course we have the flesh that's going to pull at us, but he says, no, in Christ you're dead to sin because you already died with him on the cross. He says your flesh, your old man, your sin was crucified, not will be crucified, not might be crucified, is crucified with him. So again, this is important to understand. We have been gifted this new awareness. We were dead, now we're alive. We used to walk according to the lust of the flesh and the desires of Satan. Now we walk in the Spirit. Now we can please him and we can honor him and we can live in a way that brings honor and glory to his name because we've been made new. So next week, we're going to stop here, but next week, we're going to talk about the idea of a new status. A new status, maybe a new position. What does that look like in our relationship to the Lord? So let's pray, and then after we pray, we'll send you guys next door here. We'll be serving up the ice cream and everything. We'll let the kids all get in and all that stuff, so give us a couple of minutes. We'll get that set up, and then there'll be tons of toppings, all kinds of different toppings set up on the table so you can kind of make your own ice cream up. And again, it's just time to fellowship, hang out. You can stay as long as you like, just kind of spending some time together, and everyone's obviously welcome to come, so please join us as we want to spend some time together. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. And we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for the realities of what we talked about tonight, that in Christ we are a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us, that we've received that message of reconciliation, and now we get to tell others about it. And Lord, maybe it's a simple conversation over coffee. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. Maybe it's a time over a meal. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would look for those opportunities that are already present in our daily lives to just make you known. Those in this room have understood and experienced the benefits of grace, the reality of what grace does, the hope of eternal life. When all the world seems crazy, and Lord, it seems crazy, we aren't shaken. We're not stirred. Why? Because we have a hope that is greater. We know that we have a Lord who is over all things. And why would we deny someone that peace, that comfort? And Lord, I know it's fearful to, we can have fear rather, Lord, to share our faith because we're worried about what's going to happen and how they're going to respond. But Lord, if we've truly experienced grace and we've truly understood what the gospel is, and we understand that apart from Christ, anyone who dies in their sin is separated from you for all eternity and sent to a place of hell. If we know that and believe that according to your word, why would we withhold the gospel from someone else? Because of fear. Lord, I would think that the reward of that person coming to Christ, the benefit of knowing that we are able to be used by you, we don't save anyone, we don't convert anyone, you do the work. But we are called to give the word of reconciliation. And if that person responds in faith, the joy of that moment has to outweigh any fear of someone rejecting us. And so Lord, help us to be help us to be the ambassadors that we're already called to be. Help us to live out the gospel this week and to see that you have made us alive, not just for eternal life in heaven, although praise God that's coming, but for this life. Right now you have given us the abundant life that we'd make you known. Father, thank you for this time together as your church. Pray you just be glorified in all that's been said and done. Be with our time of fellowship to follow, Lord. And again, just help us to have a good time together as your church, growing in relationship one with another. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Again, head on next door. We'll get that stuff going here in just a few minutes and enjoy some time together.